It's Morning Edition on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Matt Schaefer-Powell. As part of WUOT's Truck Beat team, my co-producer Jess Mador and I have been traveling around East Tennessee asking people what they want to know about health and healthcare and examining those issues in depth. For the last couple months, we've been looking at addiction in East Tennessee, specifically opiate addiction. Today, we're going to look at what happens when you want to quit, but you're being told to wait. Here's Jess.
In a moment, we'll hear the story of an uninsured young woman who nearly relapsed while waiting for a detox bed to open up. But first, your voice. We sent Truckbeat's Liz Wood to downtown Knoxville to ask people, how much should the government be involved in drug or alcohol treatment?
Do you think the state of Tennessee has an obligation to help people that are addicted to drugs and or alcohol?
Has an obligation? No.
I don't think there's an obligation there.
Are they obligated? No. Is it a moral issue? Absolutely.
Absolutely. The state should help them out.
I don't know that the state is the one to do
it. It's a mental affliction that needs to be treated.
I think that we should take care of people with mental health issues and support them.
Give them the one shot, give them a helping hand. And if they choose to take it, they're worth the investment.
Yeah, I think that should be, like, provided.
I think it's something that you develop on your own and something you ought to get help with on your own.
I just think right now there's just such a stigma with addiction that people aren't getting the help that they need.
Stop arresting, making it a criminal act.
Our tax dollars are better spent helping addicts get treatment than locking them up in jail.
It's a big epidemic, a very serious problem.
You may believe the government has a role to play in addiction treatment, you may not, but it's clear the demand for help is growing fast. Take Helen Ross McNabb. It's one of a handful of addiction centers in East Tennessee that provides treatment to people without insurance, and Helen Ross McNabb officials say there's a waiting list. Nearly 200 people are typically in line for just 19 residential beds.
99% of the people seeking help for their addictions at Helen Ross McNabb are dependent on opiates. Many of them will likely need detox, but detox and rehab can quickly run into the thousands of dollars. So what happens if you can't afford help? Truckbeat's Leslie Snow brings us one woman's difficult journey to recovery.
Lacey Vassallo is in her early 20s now, but she remembers that as a teenager, getting pain pills was as easy as getting an aspirin.
Someone in my family was prescribed pain medicine, and that was how me and my brother started. It was just very accessible to us. It was given to us, you know. I got physically addicted to opiates whenever I was probably 15 or 16.
3 years ago, Lacey gave birth to a baby boy. She lost custody of him last fall. That's when it hit her. She really needed to get clean, because going through treatment was the only path to regaining custody of her son. For the first time, she felt ready to embrace her recovery. She was motivated and eager. And that's when she found out she had to wait to get into detox.
It was just difficult because I was still physically addicted, so I still had to go out and use drugs so I didn't feel sick. Even if I didn't want to, it's just when you're an addict, you can't not do it.
Lacey waited 2 weeks to get into a 28-day residential program. She was using all the while, but desperate for the help she needed to get clean. Finally, she got a call from a facility in Kingsport.
It was hard. I just kept applying at all different places. But they're the ones, when they called me back, I felt so relieved.
But that wasn't the only time Lacey had to wait. As part of her plan to get visitation with her son, she had to complete an intensive outpatient program, or IOP. But she had trouble finding one that would take her. There were long waiting lists, and treatment was expensive.
I tried to get into a lot of different outpatients, but I didn't have insurance. A lot of them were harder. Like, I went to different orientations, and they're really expensive without insurance.
Lacey stayed sober while she waited, but it was hard. She didn't want to return to her old life or even her old apartment. She stayed with a friend, tried to focus on her recovery, and waited for the phone to ring to see if she could get into an outpatient program.
It took me forever before I found this place, so it was like 2 months after I got into treatment.
This place is the intensive outpatient program at Helen Ross McNabb, a community health center that provides mental health, social services, and addiction treatment. And according to Hilda Phipps, the director of adult addiction services, Lacey's long wait to get treatment is the norm.
When the person is ready and willing to get care, it should be available immediately. If you look at 7 beds and you have 1,032 people, if you plotted that out on a calendar, that means your appointment would be next year.
In reality, the wait for detox is closer to 51 days. The amount of time gets shorter as people fall off the waiting list. But they're not getting better while they wait. Some continue using and are never heard from again. Others end up in the emergency room or in jail.
They either get worse or possibly die, or they go somewhere else. The problem is that there's nowhere else to go if you're uninsured for these levels of care.
But if you have health insurance, it's a different story.
Like a lot of things in our society, if you have the ability to pay or you're well insured, you can get help today.
Phipps is passionate about her work, despite the challenge she faces in helping people get treatment when they need it.
We feel good about how effective we are, but we know if we were able to come in sooner, that we could be a lot more effective. Those who do get in, within a few days, you see a miraculous transformation in their lives.
Lacey is one of those success stories. She stayed sober while she waited for a spot to open up at Helen Ross McNabb, and her life has been transformed.
Like, I love being clean. I have a job. I have a car now. I always have money. So now I'm really happy.
And she just had her first unsupervised overnight visit with her son. She's getting a taste of the daily routine of raising a child and enjoying each small moment.
We just play a lot. I mean, it was all, like, he woke up super early. I gotta get back in the groove of waking up. He woke up at 5:45 this morning, cooking breakfast and all that. So I'm getting back in the groove of being a mom again. But I love it.
Lacey has completed her treatment, but she continues to go to meetings. She'll have another overnight visit with her son in a few weeks. For Truckbeat, I'm Leslie Snow.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Truckbeat. Remember, you can hear previous episodes online at WUOT.org or Truckbeat.org. There, you'll also find some juicy web-only extras, including our latest Truckbeat video from Knoxville's Rossini Festival. Truckbeat is also available as a podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes. And finally, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm Matt Schaefer Powell.
And I'm Jess Mador.
Truckbeat on WUOT is brought to you by Finding America, a national initiative of the Association of Independents in Radio, with financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Wincote Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the WUOT Lauren P. Murphy Endowment Fund.